This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Well, hello everybody. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to another episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical, where we are taking the principles of Scripture and applying them to the 21st century practical Christian family. I think when you look at the reasons people start homeschooling, one of the top ones is I want to avoid the peer influences in the local school system.
Agree.
I don't want our kids to be in a bad peer group. I don't want them to become peer dependent. Because, boy, I remember how dependent I was when I was in school. I remember how people's opinions just dragged me all over the place, either to conform or to rebel.
Yes.
Either way, I was always watching to see what other people were thinking and then reacting based on that.
And you know what? It's worked very well. Mm-hmm. I remember one time going on a field trip with our kids.
Yeah.
And one of their friends was just acting very strange. He was showing out and showing off. And we got home, and they're like, what in the world was the problem with him? Mm-hmm. And I said, well, you know how sometimes when you're with people, you want to impress, you don't act like yourself, but you try to... And they just looked at me blankly. And I said, yeah, you know what I mean? When you're trying to impress people, you know, you're trying to make them like you. And they just looked at me blankly. And I was clearly not getting through to them. And I said,
yeah.
Don't you understand what I mean? And our oldest looked at me and he said, Mama, if you can't be yourself around somebody, they're not your friends.
Well,
and I was just blown away. He was maybe 11. And I surely did not understand that at 11.
That was just not something. I mean, maybe you heard that on an after-school special or something. But, you know, when you're... I read somewhere, you can't see the picture when you're inside the frame.
Yeah.
You don't recognize it. If what you see right in front of you doesn't exactly match the pattern of what was shown to you on that after school thing. And so you don't recognize, hey, you're making the same mistake, it just looks different. And so yeah, homeschooling is good, and if we're reasonably careful managing it, we can raise kids who are not terribly peer dependent, and that's good. That's a very good thing. But you know what? We grew up that way. We were peer dependent growing up, and I think very easily we slip into the same thing.
Oh, I think homeschool parents are super peer dependent.
Mm-hmm.
We worry to death about what other people think, and it can make us vulnerable. It can make us vulnerable to making poor decisions,
mm-hmm.
to going along with the crowd, to believing things maybe we ought not to believe. You know, our topic tonight is bullied into buying. And what we're concerned about is we want to talk about the different ways that we can be manipulated into believing things that are not true or into buying things that maybe aren't the best for our family out of fear or out of peer pressure. And that's not a good thing, because we need to do what's right for our families.
We need to be the grown-ups in the picture.
Yes.
How often do we have to say that? Somebody's got to be the grown-up in this picture, even if it's a bunch of overgrown kids like us parents tend to be sometimes. And so, we need to be aware of that, and we need to be looking to whom for our direction? To God.
To God.
We need to be looking to the Word of God for direction and being willing to stand on that. And not to, you know, continually take our cues from other people. You know, one thing that really struck me as I'm thinking about this, and we've talked about it at different times, is that so easily, you know, we Christians understand the concept that we're saved by grace through faith, and it's not a result of works, it's not a result of law, it's not a result of legalism, it's because of God's grace to undeserving sinners who can never earn their way into heaven. Okay, that's all good and biblical and sound. We all get that. The problem, I think, is that once we've crossed that threshold, once we have turned our hearts over to the Lord and we've committed ourselves to obeying Him, then we try to apply that same legalistic approach to our life and our sanctification and our ongoing holiness. And that's wrong.
Right.
It's wrong. And so I think we need to be real careful of that. An interesting thing, if you look at Romans chapter 14, that whole chapter, it's worth reading over again. But you see that Paul is addressing this problem. Well, Romans is interesting because it's really Paul's unfolding of this wonderful thing that he's realized, that the Gentiles are part of God's plan as well. Not just the Jews who have the law, but the Gentiles that the Jews always looked down on, suddenly find out, oh, we're all part of God's plan. We can all be saved, and now we're something different. And Paul talks about that at a great extent. But in Romans chapter 14, he's talking about scruples. He's talking about people's convictions. And there are those who are saying, well, we ought to be able to just eat everything. We're free from the dietary laws. And other people have gone the other extreme. They said, no, we need to eat just vegetables, nothing but vegetables. Not even the legal kosher meat is good enough. We need to be, you know, pure and eating just green, crunchy things instead. And others are saying, well, you've got to obey the Sabbath, or you've got to observe Passover, or you've got to do, you know, there's all different kinds of things in there. And Paul is saying, Paul says, you know, we all have these, people have different convictions, and that's okay. And he gets down there toward the end of the chapter, he says, each of us should give account of himself before God. He's already said, who are we to judge another one's servant? Because his master will make him stand.
Right.
And, you know, we all are servants to the holy and righteous God. But he says, each of us will give account of himself before God, and therefore let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. And
yeah, that has a lot of application, because all those examples you mentioned from the New Testament,
yeah,
I've seen those things on my Facebook feed today.
Nah.
I mean, seriously, Hal.
Yeah, just today?
Just today. You know, whether or not we should be eating meat, what we should be eating, what holidays we should be keeping, should we be keeping the Passover as Christians? I've seen all those discussions today.
I've seen some of them just the past couple of days, people saying birthday celebrations are an abomination. And I mean, just the whole range of stuff.
We were having a discussion today in one of the Facebook groups I was in, and what I had to say to one thing is, we can't be adamant where the Word of God is not adamant. You know, God gives us clear commands, and it's hard enough to follow those. We have to be careful not to bind up a whole bunch of other commands and rules and requirements for people that they have to follow.
Well, was it Acts chapter 15 where the council in Jerusalem, you know, I think it was Peter said, brethren, you know, we have not been able to obey the law. We have not been able to keep God's law perfectly. Our fathers were not able to keep it perfectly. Why are we trying to put this burden on the back of Gentiles that were never under the law to begin with?
Yes.
And, you know, that is...
But we're still doing it.
But we still do it.
You know what? When we started homeschooling, everybody wore dresses only, and kids, and denim jumpers, and head coverings. Just about everybody in homeschooling did it. And if you didn't...
then you were obviously liberal and compromised, and you just hadn't
found
your way to
you
hadn't found your way to right thinking in a truly God-centered way of life.
I have to confess, I did some of that stuff I wasn't really convicted about because I was afraid of what people would say.
Well, it was easier to conform than to stand and make an issue about it.
And you know, we have to be careful about these things, because when we start making rules that limit other people's Christian liberty, you know, we're doing the same thing the Pharisees did.
And Jesus really spoke strongly against that.
He did. And so, okay, but let's get to our topic. Okay, how do we get bullied into buying things?
Well, one way
is peer pressure.
It's peer pressure. We are afraid of other people's opinion of us.
Yes.
We're afraid of other people judging us in some way, and we don't have enough courage to say, your opinion is not normative to me. I'm trying to follow the Word of God, and my conscience before God, to the best of my knowledge, is clear. And so you may have a different opinion, that's fine, but I don't have to take my lead from you. And that's, I mean, not to be unfriendly or anything, but simply that's really what it comes down to. And I tell you what, I think about that kind of thing, that if we who understand God's grace and who understand the liberty that we have and understand the dangers of legalism, if we don't even take the mild stand to say, I'm not going to play that game, then we tacitly perpetuate it.
Well, we're leaving the younger Christians, you know, out there hanging out to dry to be influenced by people. You know, mm-hmm. we're not helping them to deal with these things. You know, so let's talk about how this looks, okay?
All right.
One way that it looks is curriculum choices, where we feel like if I don't use what my friend's using, maybe I'm going to make a mistake. Maybe I'm going to not do right by my children. Maybe my children won't be successful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's really scary because we're all in different circumstances. You know, we're on the road many months of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Our circumstances are different than someone whose husband is working away from home and she's sitting with the children 12 hours a day. You know, our circumstances are different. Our kids are different. Like,
yeah.
I remember a sweet friend who's probably listening. Hello. And, you know, I remember once that she picked out a curriculum because I used it.
Mm-hmm.
And she really had a lot of respect for me and she thought it must be great because I was using it.
Yeah. Right.
But the problem is that her kids and my kids could not be any more different.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
There's nothing wrong with that.
My kids are loud extroverts.
Yeah.
And her kids are quiet introverts. And so I chose a grammar program where the kids were chanting and standing up and acting things out. And her kids were like, well, can we die instead?
Yeah, could you just kill us first?
You know,
yeah.
It was horrible. It was a horrible choice for them. It was mm-hmm. a great choice for us. And we have to be careful not to let our peer pressure, our fear that we're not going to do right by our kids, cause us to make poor curriculum choices.
Well, don't we know? I mean, for goodness sakes, every convention we go to, somewhere they talk about learning styles. Oh, I'm a visual learner. I'm an auditory learner. I'm a sensory, you know, a sensory motor type of learner. You know, everybody is very, you know, kinesthetic. People talk about these things. Certainly, we ought to know better than anybody else that everybody's different. Everybody's different in how they teach.
Isn't
everybody's
that why we're different homeschooling? In how they,
well, that comes part of it, doesn't it? And yet,
we
forget
fall into
that.
It.
And we fall into that thinking, well, you know what? The absolute best way to get an outstanding education is to sign up for this classroom program, which I always find a little puzzling because you think homeschooling sort of that's parent directed, right? Why are we signing up for classes? That sounds like we're going back to Egypt again or something.
Well, but you know, sometimes the marketing makes it hard not to sign up. I remember walking through and, you know, we had such trouble teaching one of our children to learn how to read.
Yeah.
He was severely dyslexic. And I walked by one booth at a conference, which shall remain unnamed to protect the guilty, that said, cure dyslexia. We cure dyslexia. And I thought, what?
Really?
Yeah, which is impossible.
Right.
But, you know, I would have been very vulnerable to that 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we have to be careful of those claims that if you don't do this exact program,
mm-hmm.
that your kids are going to be dumb or they're not going to be as smart as they could be or they won't get into college. The truth of the matter is there's a ton of programs out there that are just fine.
And for goodness sakes, your elementary school is not going to make or break your graduate application.
No.
You know, that's something I think a lot of people get hung up on about. You know, I'm trying to find the people that will tell me the perfect program to do this or another thing with my second grader. And honestly, you know, our own experience would kind of indicate that the second grade is not going to be high on anybody's list after they pass third grade.
No, nobody ever asked about it in any of our kids' college applications, and they applied to all kinds of colleges.
Yeah, and yet we get bullied into it because a fear. Not, and this is not a fear of the way other people think of us, but a fear on behalf of our kids. I'm so afraid I'm going to mess up.
Right.
I'm afraid that I won't do the right thing, and my children will suffer for it, and that they'll be stupid as adults, and the only thing they'll remember is Mama failed me, and we're scared of that, and so.
So we
think, okay, here's somebody who's confident and they have a very structured program and all we have to do is pay for it and show up and everything's supposed to be just great after that.
Yeah, we need to be careful about that. We need to trust God and not the program, the curriculum, all those other things to make our kids turn out right.
Well, and I tell you, that has some immediate consequences, too, because I have seen families who were struggling financially, like between jobs, like you know, living literally hand to mouth and squeezing every nickel out of their budget they could because they were committed to staying in these very expensive classes.
Yeah.
And I think...
But they were afraid not to.
Right.
Well, you know, there's some advice I give. I do a workshop called A Field Guide to Curriculum Approaches and Choices.
Right.
And the advice I give people about choosing a curriculum is think mostly, a good bit, and very little.
Okay.
Think mostly about what your child needs and what works for your child. Think a good bit about what works for you and what you like and how you like to teach. In your circumstances.
Right.
And very little about what anybody else thinks.
Okay.
Including the grandparents, your best friend, anybody else.
Yeah.
You know, because their opinion really doesn't matter. You know, what matters is what works for your child and for your family.
Mm-hmm.
And you've really got to think about that. But, you know, I see the same thing, Hal, in my Facebook feed all the time about health stuff and about eating and food. Where people use fear to induce people to do what they're doing. I think part of it is when we make a decision, you know, misery loves company. People love company in general. People want making, if other people make the same decision, it validates our decision.
They want to be confirmed in their own suspicions, if you will.
And see, I discovered this a long time ago when I realized it was easier for me to talk to strangers about homeschooling than it was about Christianity, which bothered me a lot.
Uh-huh.
But I realized that I felt like if more people made the decision to homeschool, we'd be safer.
Yeah.
You know, in our decision.
Okay.
You know, and I had to realize, okay, first of all, what is it important for me to share with people?
Yeah.
The Lord is far That's more right. important.
True.
But yeah. also that I was being peer dependent. And I see this in health stuff all the time. For example,
okay,
a mom was talking to me, and we're just talking, and she said, well, we all know that sugar is a poison.
Do we? I hadn't heard about this.
Yeah. I said, really? Now, I'm a biologist and took a lot of chemistry. And
well, you were in medical school when we got married.
I was in pharmacy school. But, you know,
yeah.
So I asked her, I said, what in the world do you mean? I said, do you eat fruit? She said, of course we eat lots of fruit. And I said, you're aware that cane sugar, beet sugar, white sugar is a disaccharide that has a glucose molecule and a fructose molecule.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much exactly what you find in fruit. You find fructose,
mm-hmm.
and your body converts it to glucose.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. Now, is it healthier to eat the fruit? Yeah, because you also get fiber and you get vitamins.
You get trace minerals and things.
Trace minerals and the fiber helps your blood sugar to normalize better. But is it poison? No, it's chemically identical.
Okay.
And so we've got to be careful because we hear these things. And I think we have this attitude that it's harder, it must be holier. You know, if it's a more extreme diet or if it's more extreme health thing, that it must be better.
Well, I think one trap that we fall into as homeschoolers is that we had to go countercultural to make the decision to be home educators. You know, we had to say, I know licensed professionals and the public school experience and all the rest of that, but I'm going to do something entirely different, and I'm going to be so radical as to say, we'll figure it out and I'll teach my own kids. Well,
yeah.
Once we've done that, some people could just kind of get on a roll, and then they start to question established medicine, and they start to question the established churches, and they start to question, you know, basically anything which has history, tradition, yeah. Respect of the community. They kind of reject it.
Yes.
And, you know, one of the things, talking about back on the peer pressure thing, when I was in high school, I was not the conforming type. I was the rebelling type because I was in a town that was very preppy, very style conscious. And for some reason, I decided I didn't want any part of that. I didn't want to be stylish. If everybody wore khakis, I wanted to wear something different, you know. And so I had kind of a negative peer influence thing to say, if that's what people are doing, I'm going to take a different course.
Even though you were never the sinfully rebellious, go out and get drunk type.
No.
But still you had that heart of rebellion, kind of, I don't want to conform, you know, to what everybody's doing.
And I think that we home educators sometimes develop that.
I think so too.
Or maybe people who have that tendency gravitate into homeschooling. And we need to be aware of it because, well, like, you know, I've heard people that just, they don't trust any doctor. They don't trust any, you know, manufactured pharmaceutical.
Oh, for example.
Yeah.
When our family was exposed to rabies many years ago because we found a rabid bat in the house.
Yep. And that was tested.
Yeah. And it was rabid. And there were people who said, I cannot believe that you are giving your family the rabies vaccination. What are the long-term side effects of it? My mouth just fell open because the long-term side effects of rabies are, well, the short-term side effect is death.
Long-term is decomposition because you die.
Because if you show a symptom of rabies before you have had that vaccine, you just die.
That's it. They can't fix that.
At that point, any side effect is an improvement to that.
Well, see, we got the same kind of feedback when I had cancer several years ago, and I was on chemotherapy, and people were telling Melanie, because Melanie was my filter there. She was my gatekeeper on a lot of this stuff. And they were telling Melanie, well, I can't believe that you're agreeing to let them pump all of these dangerous medications into hell. Yeah. And the answer is, well, because if we don't treat it, there's over a 50% chance he will die from it, and we'll deal with the side effects if he survives the disease.
Yes, and there have been side effects, but I'm thankful you're here to experience them.
I'm thankful that I'm here to manage them.
Now,
yes, exactly.
You know, we do not say, always choose what the doctor says.
No.
I'm dealing with Lyme disease. I know better than that.
Right.
But we have to be wise, and we have to look at the data. And sometimes the data will say, you know, go with the traditional medicine. Sometimes the data says, you know, you ought to try something different. Mm-hmm. But we need to look at the data. We need to not just react. We need to be proactive. We need to be thoughtful and not just jump on every fear-based bandwagon that goes by.
And again, going back to Romans 14, we got to be careful that we don't judge our brethren to say, well, if he was really concerned about his family, they would be buying unprocessed milk, none of this homogenized stuff. You know, if they were really concerned about whatever it is.
Oh, then goodness, we judge each other so badly.
Don't we do that? And you know, that sends a real bad message to our kids, too. I mean, when you think about that, that if our kids grew up in a judgmental, legalistic home, they're going to leave that home one day, and you can set them up for a couple of different outcomes. One of them would be that they can't be comfortable in any sort of fellowship except one exactly like your own little niche in the legalistic community.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
You know, and that's tough, especially if you get called into a different part of the country where, you know, we grew up in the South, you could choose 15 different flavors of Baptist churches. We moved to California, there were like three in the town where we lived.
Oh, not even Baptist, just three churches that were even teaching the gospel.
Yeah. Okay. And so what do you do with that? Or you get in the situation where they go out and they meet real Christians who don't have all of the hang-ups they were raised with, and they think, my parents are full of baloney, and they completely throw off their parents' guidance.
Yeah.
You know, all of these things are harmful. And we've got to remember that God gives us tremendous grace and tremendous liberty in a lot of areas. And
because after all, hell, it's not what goes into the body that defiles it.
Jesus said so.
He said so. And so whether we're the crunchy mom that's judging the mom who's feeding her kids fish sticks and hot dogs.
Yes.
Or if it's the mom driving through McDonald's who's judging her friend because she thinks she spends too much money on organic produce.
Yeah.
Either way, the judgment is bad and wrong.
Yeah. And I think we need to recognize that my kids are not your kids out there. You know, our kids are different than your kids. The mom who teaches my kids is different than the mom who's teaching your kids. And our family circumstances are different, and our opportunities are different, and our capabilities are different. And you know what? You can't say that there's a perfect curriculum or a perfect program for every single child in your own family.
That's right. Boy, we've learned that.
We've learned that. And so, you know, we need to be able to give each other grace and to give ourselves a grace to say, I think God would have me do something different. Or I think that God would allow me to do something different.
Yes.
And that's perfectly okay. I'm okay, you're okay, if I can borrow a phrase there, to say, you know, your quiet introverted children need a quiet introverted kind of program, and that's great that you can find one. My kids need to be active and noisy and demonstrative, and there's programs that support that, and that's great. I'm glad we have the opportunities.
So Hal, to sum up, we need to be less fearful.
Yep.
More trusting of God. We need to be cautious about people who try to use fear to sell us things.
Whether it is sell us things for money or sell us things for opinions and ideas and belief systems. Yes.
Yeah, you know, we need to be cautious about people who promise a fix, who promise a cure, or who promise that if we don't do what they think we ought to do, that we're failing our kids.
Uh-huh.
You know, when it comes down to it, we can be adamant about where the Word of God is adamant.
And rejoice in it.
We can be adamant about sin. We can be adamant about serving God. But when it comes to curriculum choices and lifestyle choices, we got to give each other a lot of grace. And you know what? We've got to give ourselves a lot of grace.
That is absolutely right. And you know what? As we're wrapping things up here, I'm thinking that there are some other things out there that are promising a solution that they can't deliver. And you need to be cautious about them, take them with a grain of salt, and that is our political candidates.
Yeah.
And if you are still listening to this during their primary season, please get out and vote. And if you're looking and saying, I don't like any of the choices, go out and check our episode called Voting When There Are No Good Choices. We have a whole episode talking about how to make a wise, God-honoring choice between the candidates that are available.
And you know what? Come out and join us on our website at RaisingRealMen.com. We have tons of great resources out there that will help you make biblical family life practical. Mm-hmm. And you can support our ministry directly by becoming a patron and get some cool insider benefits at Patreon, patreon.com/HalandMelanie.
And we really would encourage you to go check that out, because you know what? We provide this free of charge. It's out there for anyone, and it's going to last out here as long as the server's up. But I want to encourage you. You can be part of this ministry. You can contribute to this ministry, and we'll even give you some input into it. So please go out and check us out on Patreon, and I hope that you'll join us again next week, next Monday night, as we bring biblical family life into the practical reality for the average Christian family. And thank you so much for joining us. I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
And we'll talk to you again later.
Bye, y'all.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.